Welcome to day 195. We are up to Perek Hei Mishnah Vav, and we are continuing to discuss mixtures of truma. Now, the golden principle that we keep on seeing is that as long as there are 100 parts of chulin to one part of truma, then the truma is nullified. But if the truma falls into fewer than 100 parts, imagine it falls into 20 parts of chulin, then the truma is not nullified, and all of the mixture, the entirety of the 21 sa'ah, the 20 of chulin plus the 1 of truma, all of it needs to be treated like truma. So our Mishnayos are going to deal with various cases, variations of those sorts of mixtures. Plus, we're going to be introduced to a few new halachic cases that use very similar halachic mechanisms. Now, this recording might be a little bit longer, not because the concepts are all that difficult, although for those of us who have serious math aversions, some of this has been quite painful, the things we do to learn Torah. But the truth is, it's not all that difficult, just some of these new halachic cases need some background. But we're going to start with something that we're familiar with. Says Mishnah Vav, Sa'at truma shenafal imagine you have a sa'ah of truma that falls into fewer than 100 pieces of chulin. The example that we gave again was 20. So one sa'ah of truma falls into 20 parts of chulin. So v'nidmu, it becomes meduma. It's not enough to be nullified. So the entirety of that mixture, all 21 pieces, need to be treated like truma. But then v'nafal min meduma l'makom acher. Imagine a piece of that 21. Let's say one sa'ah of those 21 sa'ah falls into another pile of chulin. So what do you do then? Rabbi Eliezer Omer midmas k'truma vaday. We use the same exact calculation. We treat that which fell in as complete truma, meaning we know that all 21 sa'ah need to be treated like truma, but in reality, they're not actually truma. Only one of them is considered truma. Okay, we treat it like truma. Says Rabbi Eliezer, no, in reality, we look at it as if it is all full-fledged truma. So any sa'ah that is pulled away from that 21 is treated like full-fledged truma, and therefore, you need 100 parts of chulin in the new pile. You need 100 parts of chulin keneged the entirety of the sa'ah that falls in, because it's really treated like truma. But the Chacham disagree. The Chacham omrim, ein hamaduma midameya ela lefi cheshbon. No, it only is meduma according to the cheshbon, the actual calculation of truma that's inside the piece that fell in. Meaning to say, the way we're going to explain it is, that the way the Chacham see it is that yes, you have to treat all 21 pieces as if it's truma. But in reality, that's not true. In reality, when a piece is pulled away, we can assume that it is a microcosm of the larger whole, meaning it has the same ratio that the larger whole has. So if the larger whole has a ratio of 20 to 1, which is about 5% of it is truma, not exactly, because it's 21 as opposed to 20 to 1, whatever, about 5% of it is truma. So when you remove a piece, when you remove a sa'ah, you can assume that only 5% of that sa'ah, only one piece of the 21 is really considered truma. And therefore, when that sa'ah falls into another part of chulin, you don't need 100 parts connected the entire sa'ah, you only need 100 parts connected the 5% of truma that is in that sa'ah. So once we have this principle of lefi cheshbon, now we're going to learn two other cases that concept of cheshbon is relevant. So for the first case, we need a little bit of background. In general, when it comes to nullification, only things that can really be lost, that can really lose their identity, that can be unrecognizable in a mixture, can become nullified. So in a random case of truma, you would never know which piece of truma is. It really can lose its identity in a mixture, and therefore it has the power to be nullified. But if there were something that even in a large mixture, it would not lose its identity, it would still retain its recognizability, its strength, then it would not become batal. In the case that the example that our mission is going to deal with is sourdough, is yeast. So sourdough, we know, is dough that rises naturally. When you attach sourdough to other dough, it causes that other dough to rise. And that's true even if the ratio is less than 1 to 100 or more to 100. I never know how to say that. So if you have, let's say a piece of sourdough falls into or it gets attached to 200 parts of regular dough, and the one part of sourdough is truma, so now when that one part of sourdough attaches itself to the 200 parts of dough, so it will still cause that entire mixture to rise, the entire loaf will rise, and therefore that sourdough does not become nullified. But imagine if now that's loaf A, right? Loaf A has that ratio of 200 to 1, 200 parts dough to one part of sourdough that is truma. The truma inside of it is only about 0.5%, a half a percent, about. So now imagine a part of that loaf A then attaches itself to another loaf of bread that is all regular dough. So the question is, what's the status of that new loaf of bread? In the first loaf of bread, you have to treat the entirety of it entirely like truma because the truma is not nullified. But what about now when a piece of that loaf gets attached to the new loaf? Do you have to treat the new loaf like truma as well? So the Mishnah says, The Ein HaMechumotz Machmitz El Lefi Cheshbon. No, we only do it based on that same principle of Lefi Cheshbon, meaning the part that was removed, even though we treat the entirety of the first loaf like Truma, really when you separate a piece, it retains that same, it's a microcosm of the larger whole, and therefore the piece that you remove only has a half a percentage of the sourdough. So the halacha is that if that half a percentage would be enough, would be strong enough to cause that entire new loaf of bread to rise, meaning that's a strong enough sourdough to cause the new loaf of bread to rise, then it would still, you'd have to treat the new loaf like truma because it would not be nullified. But if it's not enough, if it's so weak at that point, it's only a half percent of sourdough to this much, much larger loaf, and it would not be enough to cause the entire new loaf of bread to rise, then it would not be, it would be considered a batel, it would be nullified. And now the final case is when it comes to a mikveh. When it comes to a mikveh, we know you need 40 sa'ah of water, and that 40 sa'ah needs to be water that was not she'uvim, that was never held in a kli, in a sort of vessel. Says the Mishnah, v'ein mayim she'uvim post l'mes ha'mikveh, but if there is mayim she'uvim, if there is water that is that has been held in a vessel before, it will not ruin the mikveh el l'fi cheshbon, unless there is the proper calculation to, meaning to say that you need a majority in this case, you need a majority of water that was never held in a vessel. If you have 21, remember you need 40. So if you have 21 sa'ah of water that was never held in a vessel, at that point, if you have 19 sa'ah of water, if the rest of it is supplemented by 19 sa'ah of water that was held in a vessel, that's okay. It won't ruin the mikvah. So that same concept of the fi cheshbon, that same phrase is used here, so the Mishnah brings it in. As long as it's not the majority, then the mayim she'uvim will not passel the mikvah. That is Mishnah Vav, now Mishnah Zayin. So, sa'at truma shenafel lemeah. We know we have a regular case now, a sa'at truma that falls into 100 parts of chulin, that is enough to have it nullified, and therefore the entirety of that mixture can be treated like chulin. But we also know that we remove a piece and we give it to the kohen. So imagine that happens. Higbiyah, you remove a piece and you give it to the kohen, but then, v'nafel acheres, a different piece of truma falls right back into that same mixture, into that same a batch of chulin. So once you remove that piece and give it to the kohen, so you treat the entirety of that pile like chulin, right? It was nullified, but now another piece of truma falls in. But now, if you're following along at home, now, if you really believe that the part that you removed is really just a microcosm of that larger whole, so now you might not actually have the full ratio of 100 to 1. Now, if you look at it as the actual reality that, you know what, the entire pile is considered nullified, so then when new truma falls in, so it's falling into total chulin, and therefore you can treat it as like it's 100 to 1, that same thing exists. But, says the Mishnah, that's true. Now imagine again, higbi of enough acheres, and then another one, you removed it and you give it to the kohen, and then another piece of truma fell. I mean, it keeps on happening again and again. So says the Mishnah, harei zimui teres, it does work. Each time a new piece of truma falls in, the pile does nullify it, meaning we really look at the pile, once that piece is removed and given to the kohen, we really look at it as though the entirety is chulin. But the Mishnah says with one caveat, ancha tirbe truma ala chulin, until you get to the point in which there's likely a ratio of more truma in there than chulin. Meaning if, let's say, 51, if you have 100 parts of chulin originally, and it happens 51 times that you a saw falls in, you remove it, and another saw falls in, and remove it, and another saw falls in, and remove it. Now, if you're really doing the math at home, if each time the part that was removed to give to Cohen was a microcosm, was 1/100th, then when more than 51 pieces fall in, now you will likely have more truma in that batch than chulin, and therefore it can no longer nullify the mixture. I hope we're following that math. I think I understood it. That is Mishnah Zayin. We'll continue with Mishnah Ches tomorrow.